Hello. Shalom. My name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iov Perek Kavav, the Book of Job, Chapter 26. To recap, in the earlier chapters, Iov said that he is convinced about his righteousness and that he does not deserve his suffering, even according to the friend's theodicy. In chapter 25, Bildad responded to Iov's specific claim of righteousness and responded that God is all-powerful in the heavens and the earth. He controls all celestial forms. Clearly, in comparison, how can man be worthy of anything? Man is a lowly creature, so Iov is not worthy to request a hearing with God. We also studied Malbim's view of Bildad's argument. Bildad argued, according to Malbim, that the righteous who suffer ultimately are rewarded for their suffering, and the wicked get their punishments in the world to come. So all evens out in the end. Bildad firmly believes, according to Malbim, that there is divine providence. God does pay the righteous and punishes the wicked. However, there are rules of nature that govern the world, and they cannot be breached for individuals. And that's how we see injustice. Bildad was our last responder of the initial three friends who came to Iov to comfort him. Iov will respond to him in our chapter that we will learn together right now. Bildad claimed that God is so powerful, his fear is on all beings, so a human who is like a maggot and a worm is nothing before God. So here, Iov outdoes Bildad in describing God's greatness and awesomeness. Iov wants to show that he agrees with the greatness of God. He describes the wonders of creation from the netherworld and the deep till the highest heights. As a response to Bildad, Iov wants the friends to know that he has great respect and fear of God. He even thinks God is greater than they think God is great. Interestingly, though, Iov does not add the rejoinder, "Oh, and therefore man is so lowly and cannot argue with God, or he cannot be righteous before him." The friends wanted to say, "Oh, God is so great. Who are you, Iov? You're a nothing." So Iov is saying, "God is so great," but Iov doesn't add here, "Therefore, I'm a nothing before God." We will see that in the end, when Hashem, when God does appear to Iov in the end of the book, Iov does feel lowly and nothing in comparison to God, and then realizes God's greatness and awesomeness, and who is he in comparison. But until he experiences that, and when the friends speak to him, Iov wants to have that confrontation with God and feels that he is up to it and he deserves it. Verses 2, 3, and 4 in our chapter. Me azarta lelochoach hoshata zroa looz. You are helping without having strength. You are delivering with arms that have no power. Maya atzta lelo chochma v'tushia larov hodata. You're giving advice without wisdom, and you're giving counsel without wisdom. Et mi higadeta milin v'nishmat mi yatsa mimeka. To whom have you addressed words? and whose breath, neshama, issued from you. Mitzudat David, Rabbi David Altshuler of Prague, 1687 to 1769, felt that Jews were neglecting the study of the prophets, Nevi'im, and the writings, Ketuvim, so he wrote an original clear commentary that also includes many ideas from previous classical commentators. I've been using Mitzudat David very often in every single perek that I study myself, but we've mentioned him and quoted him many times throughout our studies. Mitzudat David explains these verses that we've studied in this manner. Iov responds to Bildad, "You don't even understand divine providence yourself. So how do you expect to help others?" This is an interesting pushback, because earlier the friends said to Iov, when others were in trouble, you gave them the pat answers of divine providence, the usual answers about God. So now Iov is doing a right back at you, according to Mitzudat David, which means you don't even know the answers, so how are you speaking to others and giving them answers that you don't even know? And you're giving the wrong advice and counsel to those who have no wisdom of their own. You're misleading people because you do not understand anything yourself. As we said earlier, the friends accused Iov of not knowing what to say. Now Iov is turning it around and criticizes the friends, and especially Bildad, of speaking without understanding the issues. So we see Iov is really responding to Bildad and saying, what do you know? You don't know anything. All of you, really, Bildad is representing all the friends, because this is one of the last statements that we'll see from Iov, is really responding to all the friends and saying, you really did not know what to say, and you don't have wisdom. So how are you spouting all of this information? After this introduction, in verses 5 to 13, Iov is describing God's power over the universe in terms way more expansive than the friends. If you get a chance, read the actual words. It's beautiful how he describes the actual power of God. We're just going to review that in the future chapters where God speaks about himself. But I advise you to read it in Iov's words, and we're going to quote many others when we are speaking about the future chapters. So verses 5 to 13 is a beautiful description of God's power over the universe. Again, as we said, Iov wants to show the friends, you think you know God? I know God even better than you. In the concluding verse, verse 14, Iov states, Hein ele kitzot derachav, Uma shemetz davar nishmabo, v'ra'am gvurotav miit bonan. These are but glimpses of his rules, the mere whisper that we perceive of him. Who can absorb the thunder of his mighty deeds? In Iov's description, in this chapter, Iov says, I'm only describing a small part of God's glory, the edge, a glimpse. Because God is overwhelming and astounding, and who can internalize the thunder and power of God? Iov wants the friends to know he's asking for a hearing not because he doesn't think God is so great, because God is so great, because he wants the answer from the creator of the world, from the one who controls the moons, the heavens, the stars, the deep, the Sheol. That's who Iov wants to address. So to sum up, In this chapter, Eov outdoes Bildad in describing God's greatness and awesomeness. Eov wants to show that he agrees with the greatness of God. He describes the wonders of creation from the netherworld and the deep till the highest heights, and repeats the great creation of God from earth to heaven. As a response to Bildad, he wants the friends to know he has great respect and fear of God, and yet still he believes in his righteousness. Still he wants an audience with God. And Eov even says, and what I'm describing is only a glimpse of God. Eov says to Bildad, right? We just did this. You don't even understand divine providence yourself. So how do you expect to help others? You are giving bad advice and counsel to those who have no wisdom. You're misleading people because you do not understand anything yourself. The friends came to Eov as all-knowing, so Eov wants to show them. The only one who is all-knowing is God and all-powerful. You should be ashamed of yourself, says Eov, that you could speak representing God to me. The next two chapters we will study together are called Eov's Mishalim, parables. So far, the third friend does not respond in this cycle. So this is really the end of all of the friends' responses. We're going to meet another individual who comes to speak, and his name is Elihu, but he's not from the original three friends. And for the next few chapters, we're going to hear from Eov himself. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.